1492, a new era in the history of mankind takes its beginnings. Our story centres in an island, not widely sundered from the continent, and so tilted that its mountains lie all to the west and north, while south and east is a gently undulating landscape of wooded valleys, open downs, and slow rivers. It is very accessible to the invader, whether he comes in peace or war, as pirate or merchant, conqueror or missionary. Those who dwell there are not insensitive to any shift of power, any change of faith, or even fashion on the mainland, but they give to every practice, every doctrine that comes to it from abroad, its own peculiar turn and imprint. A province of the Roman Empire, cut off and left to sink or swim in the great convulsion of the Dark Ages, reunited to Christendom and almost torn away from it once more by the heathen Dane. Victorious, united but exhausted, yielding almost without resistance to the Norman conqueror. Submerged, it might seem, within the august framework of Catholic feudalism, was yet capable of reappearing with an individuality of its own. Neither its civilization nor speech is quite Latin nor quite Germanic. It possesses a body of custom which, whatever its ultimate sources may be, folkrite brought from beyond the seas by Danes and by Saxons before them, maxims of civil jurisprudence culled from Roman codes, is being welded into one common law. This is England in the 13th century, the century of Magna Carta and of the First Parliament. As we gaze back into the mists of time, we can very faintly discern the men of the old Stone Age and the new Stone Age, the builders of the great megalithic monuments, the newcomers from the Rhineland with their beakers and tools of bronze. Standing on a grassy down where Dover now is, and pointing to the valley at his feet, one of them might have said to his grandson, "The sea comes farther up that creek than it did when I was a boy." And the grandson might have lived to watch a flood tide, a roaring swirl of white water sweeping the valley from end to end, carving its grassy sides into steep chalk edges and linking the North Sea with the Channel. No wanderings henceforth of little clans in search of game or food-yielding plants from the plains of France or Belgium to the wooded valleys and downs of southern England. No small ventures in dug-out canoes across narrow inlets at slack water. Those who come now must come in ships, and bold and wary they must be to face and master the Channel fogs and the Channel tides, and all that may lie beyond them. Suddenly, the mist clears. For a moment the island stands in the full light of historic day. In itself, the invasion of Britain by Julius Caesar was an episode that had no sequel. But it showed that the power of Rome and the civilization of the Mediterranean world were not necessarily bounded by the Atlantic coast. Caesar's landing at Deal bridged the chasm which nature had cloven. For a century, while the Roman world was tearing itself to pieces in civil war, or slowly recovering under a new imperial form, Britain remained uneasily poised between isolation and union with the continent, but absorbing, by way of trade and peaceful intercourse, something of the common culture of the West. In the end, Rome gave the word, and the legions sailed. For nearly 400 years, Britain became a Roman province. This considerable period was characterized for a great part of the time by that profound tranquility which leaves little for history to record. It stands forth sedate, luminous, and calm. And what remained? Noble roads, sometimes overgrown with woodland. The stupendous work of the Roman wall, breached and crumbling. Fortresses, market towns, country houses, whose very ruins the next comers contemplated with awe. But of Roman speech, Roman law, Roman institutions, hardly a vestige. Yet we should be mistaken if we therefore suppose that the Roman occupation could be dismissed as an incident without consequence. It had given time for the Christian faith to plant itself. Far in the West, though severed from the world by the broad flood of barbarism, there remained, sorely beset but defended by its mountains, a tiny Christian realm. British Christianity converted Ireland. From Ireland, the faith recrossed the seas to Scotland,